For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Amen.
Love issues in obedience. Obedience is such an endlessly rich biblical theme because it defines so much of the journey of our faith and the journey's struggle. The commands of God are not a burden, and acknowledging this brings about holiness and dedication to Christ. Obeying the commandments of the Son of God, who loves us and gave himself for us, we are clothed in Christ through our baptism. And Jesus marks the new way, the past, the present, and the future. The Son continues to overcome the world in us and through us, overcoming oppression, persecution, division, fear, violence, and even death. Through this new birth, our allegiances become visible, the kingdom of God. Verse 5 says, "Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" In this passage in 1 John 5, we find John admonishing his community to be obedient. Now, earlier in this chapter, John speaks about the different tests that we must face as Christians in the Christian life. We are tested to keep his commandments and practice the virtue of obedience. And furthermore, John says that those who believe that Jesus is the Christ are born of God. That's a remarkable statement. Those who believe that Jesus is Christ are born of God. And consequently, when we pick up here at verse 4, we see that whoever is born of God, those who believe that Jesus is Christ, overcomes the world, persecution, fear, and moments of doubt. And those who overcome the world are those who have faith in Christ and are born of God. Brothers and sisters, we know that God is a God that provides for us, even in the hard times. We are born into Christ by our baptism, and made heirs and co-heirs with Christ and what he's accomplished in the resurrection. We are no longer held under the thumb of the powers and principalities and cosmic forces and governments that prevent us from being free to be the people who we are called to be, namely, the servants of God, by the institution of the church. God's bride, us, the church, overcomes the world and ushers in the kingdom of God. Now, John moves us in verse 6 through 10 to talk about the several witnesses in support of the claims that we're talking about, that the church is claiming and making about the resurrected Lord, Jesus. Now, the key word here is witness, and it's used in its various forms 8 times in this passage. And the Greek word is martyrio, and it means to be a witness, to testify, and to give evidence for, to bear record. So let us briefly list the witnesses of Christ and see how each of them has their part in providing evidence about the good claims the church is making of Jesus' resurrection. We begin with 2 witnesses, the witness of the water and the blood. Now, the likely context here is there is a the roots of a heresy forming in the around the community that St. John is ministering to. And it's the roots of Gnosticism, where they deny the good creation as good, the material as good, where everything is spiritualized, and where they deny that Jesus is the Son of God in the flesh. And so this heretical movement, which we later come to know as Gnosticism, is starting to form, and because we always, the scandal of the cross is we always try to get rid of it, and as humans. And St. John here is saying that, well, there's a man named Cerinthus who is proclaiming that the divine Christ came down onto the person of Jesus at his baptism, and left the person of Jesus, the divine Christ left the person of Jesus at while he was suffering on the cross. And St. John is saying that's not the case, because Christ had to suffer death, Christ had to be baptized, Christ had to be had to be born as a human for any of this to be successful and for us to be redeemed. So the significance of the water and blood that St. John is talking about is the water refers to Jesus' baptism and the blood to his death on the cross. And John's emphasis is that Jesus came by both water and blood and not by water only. Jesus, the Son of God, did die on the cross, and 3 days later he did rise from the dead. Now, these two witnesses, water and blood, are not alone. As we see, they are joined by another, the witness of the Spirit. John says, the Spirit also bears witness. And we find throughout Scripture that the Spirit bears the witness of Christ. Because of his involvement in the earthly life of Jesus, the Spirit can testify to a multitude of things, the conception of Jesus in the birth narrative, the baptism of Jesus as a dove, the temptation of Jesus. Luke says that Jesus is filled with the Holy Spirit. In Luke 4:18, Jesus says that the Holy Spirit has anointed him to preach to the poor. We also see that according to Jesus, the Holy Spirit was to testify about Jesus. And that's 1 John 15:26. The Holy Spirit did this by inspiring the apostles and confirming their words with spiritual gifts. So we see through the Holy Scriptures, the Word, that the Spirit agrees with the water and the blood. And all three bear witness and agree as one. And that is, they testify that Christ has come in the flesh, and he has died on the cross, and he was raised on the third day, and we have been raised with him into eternal life through our baptism. Now, the significance of having three witnesses is maybe taken from the requirement in Deuteronomy 19:15, where it says, by the mouth of two or three witnesses, the matter will be established. So as we continue, we see there's actually another witness, the witness of the believer. St. John says, he who believes in the Son of God has witness in himself. Now, this statement is reminiscent of Jesus' words in St. John 7, Gospel of St. John, chapter 7, verse 16 through 17, when he says, Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. Those who do the will of Christ, as taught by Jesus, shall know that the doctrine of Christ is truly from God. Likewise, the one who believes in the Son receives confirmation in himself about who Jesus truly is. Those who believe in him are born of God. And brothers and sisters, this is why it's so important for us not to turn away from this witness in the midst of trials and tribulations. Because our witness, we are the fourth witness here. We are the witness that Jesus has come and is the Son of God, and that we are brought into eternal life. It is through us and that witness that we proclaim the good news. So let us not grow weary in doing what is right. Now, St. John moves on into saying that God has given us eternal life. Now, in this life, eternal life comes from knowing God and Jesus in prayer. That's the key. Prayer, fasting, and almsgiving in the Holy Spirit. We see Jesus in the poor and destitute, the downtrodden and the oppressed. And we also have to consider that because God and Jesus are eternal life, those in fellowship with him have life that is best described as eternal. So the testimony of God is first this: he has given us eternal life, a quality of life based upon fellowship with God. John makes this painfully clear to us and to his audience. We find eternal life in his Son. And it is only through Jesus that eternal life can be found. And if we wish to have eternal life, we must be in Jesus and thus in the church. This should make us leap out of our chairs and preach the good news on the rooftops, whether that is here in the church, whether that is downtown, whether that is at your work or at home or overseas. This is joy unspeakable. And we must take comfort today in this, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.